Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Gina Morrow. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Chris Labacki, MD, an oncology research fellow at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, and Kwok Dean Treen, MD, an associate professor of surgery at Harvard Medical School, and of the Division of Urology at Brigham and Women's Hospital, to discuss research they recently had published in Cancer Cell, which focuses on the substantial increase in cancer screening procedures documented in more recent time periods following the first peak of the COVID-19 pandemic. When compared with pre-pandemic time periods, investigators noted an increase in all of the following screening procedures, specifically mammography, prostate-specific antigen, pap smear, and low-dose CT. Colonoscopy was the only procedure that did not see an uptick versus pre-pandemic time points. Furthermore, the research noted that racial disparities appear to differ between screening procedures, and they are more marked in patients undergoing mammography. In our exclusive interview, Drs. Labacki and Treen discuss their research on the recovery of cancer screening tests and their link with potential racial disparities from the COVID-19 pandemic, and how the community can continue to emphasize the importance of cancer screening while working to close the gaps of disparities in cancer care. What was the rationale to conduct this kind of trial based off of some of the findings that we've been hearing about with COVID and how it's impacted cancer screenings?
So basically, COVID has been shown to affect to a large degree cancer screening in the US. And many studies have evaluated in many regions across the US what was the impact of the pandemic on cancer screening as, and these studies have identified a large decrease in many screening types like PSA, mammography, colonoscopy, pap smear, and even low-dose CT scan, which are the most commonly used screening modalities for the most common cancer types. And our group has previously published a study analyzing what was the impact of the pandemic also on cancer screening and associated diagnosis, and we have found similar findings. So the rationale behind this study was to evaluate what was the impact of the pandemic during the most recent time periods, talking from June to December 2020, most importantly, on cancer screening, and evaluate whether cancer screening tests have recovered and whether people are going to do their cancer screening as it's supposed to be, or if they are still missing their cancer screening.
When you got ready to do this analysis, what types of patients were you looking at, like exactly population-wise in terms of like demographics? And I know there's some information in here about racial disparities as well, which is very interesting. So what types of individuals were you looking for this analysis?
As Chris mentioned, the two biggest interesting points of this study, I'd say there's first one was we know for a fact that during the pandemic period, there was less cancer screening. It goes both ways. On one side, institutions had to protect their resources, PPE. There was a lot of uncertainty about transmission of this disease. So on one side, institutions could not provide necessarily the service. And on the other side, patients were scared, right? There was concern about coming into the hospital, getting a colonoscopy, getting testing done. Vaccines were not available at that point in time. And unsurprisingly, but also concerningly, we found that there was a lot of a significant decrease in cancer screening in the and during the first wave of the pandemic. But now, as the pandemic continues and, you know, we hit the second wave, potentially we're going to be dealing with a third wave, the hospitals have adapted and patients have also different expectations. They know that life continues, cancer definitely continues. And as a result, we were interested in trying to see, at least at our institution in the Mass General Brigham, which is a large healthcare system in the Northeast, if cancer screening has recovered. So I think that was one of the important things we were trying to assess. The other important thing we were trying to assess is that there's always been concern in this country about inequity, about potentially racial disparities. And often in such situations where resources are scarce, there's always some concern that some people are left behind. And we wanted to know in our large healthcare system, well, how did we fare? How, what results we see? And if the resumption of cancer screening happened at the same time for everyone, or were there some groups that may be more at risk that we need to put more energy in trying to get them back to their regularly scheduled cancer screening tests?
So just to go back to the design of our study, we included a long time period. So basically, we included 1 year before the pandemic, and we included 9 months from the start of the pandemic. And we divided this whole period, pre-pandemic and post-pandemic, into 7 time periods, each of 3 months. So basically, we had 4 pre-pandemic time periods and 3 post-pandemic time periods. One of these would correspond to the first pandemic peak, and the last one, which would be from September to December 2020, would correspond to the second peak of the pandemic. And just putting this into the background, we aim to see how the different peaks of the pandemic affected cancer screening. For our population, just like Dr. Tran previously described, we evaluated patients who underwent cancer screening in the Mass General Brigham Network, which is one of the largest healthcare systems in the Northeastern United States. So we evaluated 5 cancer screening tests. So low-dose CT for lung cancer screening, colonoscopy for colon cancer screening, PSA for prostate cancer, mammography for breast cancer, and pap smear for cervical cancer. We included all patients undergoing screening tests. We also evaluated positive diagnosis tests. So we went out to look which proportion of these tests came back positive. Finally, we evaluated the racial characteristics and also the socioeconomic characteristics of patients undergoing screening. So the socioeconomic characteristics were evaluated using the Area Deprivation Index, which is basically a geocoding of a patient's zip code. And this index links the zip code of each patient to a certain degree of socioeconomic status. This has been validated in many studies earlier, and this is why we decided to use this metric. So overall, we evaluated more than 380,000 patients undergoing screening across all screening types and all time periods. One of the main findings is that the number of patients undergoing screening from September to December 2020 was higher than the numbers seen for each of the pre-pandemic time periods, meaning that we had a very high recovery of cancer screening tests, as opposed to earlier time periods during the pandemic, meaning from March to June 2020 and from June to September 2020, where we identified a major decrease in cancer screening tests, ranging up to 80% of decrease compared to pre-pandemic time periods. We believe that this recovery is reassuring overall. However, for colonoscopy, we didn't identify a recovery. Colonoscopy was the only screening modality that didn't recover to normal levels, referring normal levels being as pre-pandemic levels, so as opposed to all other screening types. When evaluating diagnosis, all screening tests and their associated positive diagnosis had recovered from September to December 2020 with numbers comparable to those seen before the pandemic, also except for colonoscopy. I do have one additional finding that I would add, and I think this is one of the main findings also. Despite the recovery experienced from September to December 2020, across all screening types except for colonoscopy, cancer diagnoses were still missed. So we analyzed how many cancer diagnoses were recovered from September to December 2020, as opposed to cancer diagnoses that were missed during the periods ranging from March to September 2020. And we saw that based on our data and our healthcare system, we had almost 1,100 cancer diagnoses being missed, while we recovered only 300. So the recovery of cancer screening is reassuring overall, but it needs to be maintained. Larger campaigns should be implemented in order to make sure to recover as many diagnoses as possible from what have been missed during the earlier time periods, because otherwise patients may present with more advanced stages of the disease or may eventually like be diagnosed at a metastatic stage, which is very unfortunate. And this is why it is important to maintain this recovery and to maintain the implementation of screening tests across the state and across the nation.
I think it's definitely interesting findings, and it's also somewhat expected that the recovery wouldn't happen the same way across all disease states, because there's some expectation that some tests are more complex than others. The logistics of getting a colonoscopy done is definitely much more complicated than a PSA test, which is basically just walking into potentially an affiliated center just for a blood test versus actually showing up to the main hospital and getting a colonoscopy. So I guess those findings are not necessarily surprising, but documenting and quantifying the problem helps us understand how much resources and how, you know, we need to dedicate to address the issue. I'm sure Chris is going to talk a little bit about the racial disparities angle. And, I think one important finding that we had in our study is to find that there are some racial difference in the recovery with regards to mammographies. And that, I think, is a really important finding. It is unfortunate depiction of things that we see here, you know, in the United States. And it does mean for us providers and institutions that we need to make an extra effort to make sure that underserved populations get the care they deserve. I can say proudly, you know, at Mass General Brigham, there's a large scale United Against Racism initiative where a lot of resources and time and money is poured into trying to really make sure that everyone gets equitable care. And actually, some of these projects are really dedicated to cancer screening, including mine that we are leading for prostate cancer screening, but there's one dedicated to mammographies and breast cancer screening as well. So those are definitely exciting initiatives that arose, you know, throughout the pandemic time period.
Wonderful. Thank you both very much. There was something I was reading too in the paper as it relates to the low rate of colonoscopies. And it kind of emphasized the importance of looking more into these at-home screening tests. So do you have anything that maybe you wanted to comment in that regard on, you know, kind of where we're going in terms of making these a little bit less invasive for patients and hopefully able to get those numbers back up?
It would be interesting to see whether non-invasive tests or home-based tests for colon cancer screening have been adopted during the pandemic by many patients who wouldn't want to come and do an invasive colonoscopy, which requires anesthesia and which is more invasive than other screening tests. But of course, colonoscopy remains overall the gold standard for colon cancer screening.
So what do you think is really the key findings of this area of the research?
So basically, we analyzed the racial groups in each time period across each screening tests. And basically, we tried to see whether the changes we identified for cancer screening recovery or cancer screening decline during the earlier time periods of the pandemic were affecting to a higher degree certain ethnic groups. And basically, we identified that for mammography, which is one of the most commonly used screening tests with the highest numbers in our cohort across all screening tests, we identified racial disparities concerning the latest time period of the pandemic. We saw that non-Hispanic Black patients and Hispanic or Latino patients had a decreased proportion and decreased numbers for mammography screening from September to December 2020, contrasting with the overall increase identified during this time period for mammography. So this means that while mammography overall is recovering, certain ethnic populations are not experiencing this recovery. and they're experiencing lower numbers as compared to pre-pandemic time periods, which is, I would say, worrisome. And this stresses on the need to implement large screening campaigns to include all racial groups within the population.
For me, providing high quality care to everyone, and you know, that's the whole concept of equity, is also in this, you know, putting in the extra effort for certain populations that need potentially more resources, right? So for me, it's more than just providing equal access, it's providing more access to populations in need. And you know, a good example of that is you know, as technology evolves and we're increasing our use of telemedicine, and telemedicine has certainly had an important role to play in coordinating care throughout the pandemic and bringing patients back in for their screening tests. But telemedicine requires understanding technical literacy to access a Zoom platform, set up the call and all that. And that's not a given for certain populations. And we need to put that extra effort to get everyone either on board or providing them services for example, over telephone, if they can't set up their Zoom platform. So I think that's also an important aspect of, you know, providing good care to everyone.
Are there any other angles of this research or next steps that maybe you would like to take with it?
Recognizing that cancer screening is such an important aspect of cancer care has gotten us to understand that we need to put in effort and, you know, fund clear operational, not research, but operational projects to address these issues. And it's something that MGB as an organization has recognized, and it's going to be exciting to see what comes out of it.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science Summits and Institutional Perspectives in Cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Enclave and at Enclave SOSS. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and Enclave State of the Science Summit, and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave On Air.